Welcome to Dollars and Cents, wealth, wisdom, and well-being, where we dive into fascinating topics with amazing people and trailblazers from all walks of life. I'm John Carolyn, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager for Main Street Wealth Management Group. With me today is my co-host, Mark Lopez, Senior Vice President, Olympic silver medalist, and certified financial planner for the team. Mark, it's good to have you here.
Thanks, John. Happy to be here.
Well, today we're honored to welcome Trey Hendershot, a visionary in the realm of business and health law, and a true leader in providing unparalleled legal services. Trey is the managing shareholder of Hendershot Cohort PC, where he embodies the culture of your attorney, your team, your law firm for life. Trey, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, John, Mark, it's a pleasure to be here with you. I appreciate this opportunity to chat with y'all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I guess before we get into the questions we would like to ask you, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about your firm and the type of clients that you work with.
Sure. Well, our firm is predominantly a business law firm. We handle just about any type of business matter that comes through the door, both litigation, transactional, and also a lot of regulatory compliance coming out of the healthcare field. We have a number of very skilled attorneys in the office that each person has their own area of expertise, and so that way we're able to address whatever a client needs when it comes in the door. We can get it to the person that's got the most experience in that area so that we're able to just tackle the problem and accomplish the client's goals.
All right.
It sounds like you built a very well-oiled machine.
Well, we've tried to. You know, had a few bumps in the road getting to where we are, but I'm very happy with the team that we have now that can just about tackle anything that comes in the door for the clients.
Fantastic.
As a follow-up question to that, trade, is there an ideal client that you would think that would pop in your head if I asked you, what's your ideal client?
Well, you know, Mark, it's interesting you asked that. From the conversation we were having before we started, the ideal client is somebody that will come in and is able to recognize that they've got an issue that they need legal advice on and legal help with, and then will take that advice and follow that advice and then implement the suggestions that we've given them.
Okay. All right. Well, Trey, we always like to start each episode with some fun facts or trivia, and today's question touches on mergers and acquisitions, and more specifically, business owners. So the question is, what percentage of business owners have a formal business transition plan?
Well, Mark, that's an interesting question, and that's something that we deal with on a very regular basis. And I will tell you that from what I see come across my desk, the percentage that actually has a formal written succession plan is very small. I would say from what comes in the door, it's less than 20%. And that's one thing that we talk about quite often. We get retained to structure limited liability companies, limited partnerships, and just regular corporations. And after having done this for 37 years, I've developed a checklist that we give clients because what I tell them is, look, I've played this game for 37 years, and I've seen a lot of the problems that come along. And I've probably seen more problems than what you realize could be out there. And so we help clients in that situation by giving them a checklist of here are things you need to consider. What happens if one partner becomes disabled? What happens if one partner just decides they want to go into another line of business? What are you going to do about non-competes? What are you going to do when you hit retirement age? How have you planned for that? What have you done to secure your investment that you've made over all these years in your business, in your medical practice, in your whatever venture it is? So that it's a very real question and a very real item that we deal with on a daily basis.
Interesting. I can imagine that causes a lot of anxiety for a business owner who hasn't even started on a business transition plan. And I guess as a follow-up, how far out before the business owner plans on selling their business should they get a plan started?
They need to have the plan started the day they incorporate their business.
Wow.
Because when you're forming the business, and I don't want this to sound negative, but when you're forming the business, you're usually on good terms with your other shareholders, with your other partners, and you're excited about what the future holds. When you get a few years down the line, those opinions may start to branch out and go different directions. And so you may have heard the old adage, the best thing between good neighbors is a good fence. Mm-hmm. That's sort of what getting a good operating agreement, shareholder agreement in place in on the front end that contains those concepts of what are we going to do as far as succession planning. Now, if you don't have that, on the front end, the sooner you get into looking at that, the better, so that we can make those plans, make those adjustments, and get those agreements in place long before you have to pull that trigger, and hopefully have the agreement in place so that it doesn't turn into litigation later on down the road.
That's great advice. And, you know, I just wanted to ask you, because the number, it just seems so low, which I guess is great for business because the opportunity out there is quite high. But why do you think it is that so few business owners are prepared for, I guess, those next steps?
Well, when you get into each type of business, like engineers, doctors, they focus on what they've been trained to do. Engineers do engineering. Doctors, they save people's lives. And so they're excellent at that, but they really haven't thought about, well, what's the next step many times? That's one of the biggest things we run into. And that's why we find that giving these folks a checklist right on the front end so they can sit down and think about it. And it's amazing the number of meetings I've been in where it's just like that aha moment and the light bulb comes on as you're sitting there and you're talking through these things about, well, what happens when you want to retire or you want to dial back a little bit on how much you're working and your partner, your shareholder, wants to continue ramping things up? How do we resolve that conflict? And so having that roadmap from the start is very critical.
Well, thank you, Trey. I have one more question for our listeners out there. In 2023, who were the two top trusted advisors for business owners according to the State of the Owner Readiness Report?
The two most trusted advisors, I would hope lawyers are on that list, but I would also have to say they're financial planners and their accountants.
Trey, you hit it right on the nail, man. Yeah.
Like you had the
answers
the
ahead of time.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
In truth, number one advisor is their attorney, and then number two is the financial advisor or wealth management person. But here's a crazy fact. We looked at those top two advisors from 2013, and back then, the number one advisor to business owners was their accountant, and their number two was someone within their peer group. So that's pretty crazy to think about.
That blows me away because it reminds me of, for example, somebody that is participating in their 401k plan. And then rather than ask someone who's an expert for advice, they just lean over to the person next to them and say, hey, what are you investing in? Doesn't that seem crazy to you?
Oh, it really does. And John, unfortunately, I've seen a lot of problems that have arisen as a result of that friendly advice. What somebody told me at a cocktail party or something of that effect, I can't tell you the number of times that I've had to get clients out of messes that were created because they relied on somebody that's not a professional in that field.
Well, I can only imagine what you've seen.
Yeah. Well, you know, like we say, I wouldn't try to do brain surgery on myself. I'm going to go to a neurosurgeon to do that. And so I would hope that people would, when it's a legal issue, go to a lawyer. When it has to do with financial investing, they would go to the wealth managers that can give them that type of advice.
Well, that is good advice. So just kind of rewinding to the start of your journey, tell us about where you grew up and the experiences that shaped you into the attorney or person that you are today.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Gonzales, Texas on a ranch. My family was cattle ranchers as a kid. And so my dad would be out before the sun came up and he didn't come home from work until well after the sun had gone down. And so that was where I got my work ethic. And then the other thing that my dad really instilled into me is honesty, that your word is your worth. And so when you tell somebody you're going to do something, it happens the way you told them that it was going to happen.
Wow. Okay.
Good old small town Texas.
Oh, that's fantastic.
True Texan. All right. Reflecting on the strong work ethic and principles instilled in you by your father and grandfather, Trey, can you share how their influence has played a pivotal role in your success and how it shapes the way you approach your work and client relationships today?
Well, as I indicated, the honesty and the hard work are something that I think about every day. And I understand with every client that comes in the door, if they're coming to me with an issue, I know that's probably the most important thing going on in their life at that particular point in time. And we want to treat it just in that fashion. We want to make sure that it gets the attention that the client is expecting it to receive, and not what somebody else says, oh, this is all that needs to go into it. But we want to meet their expectations and we want to deliver on being able to accomplish their goals. That definitely came from my dad and my granddad and the way that I was raised and growing up when I was told, get up to the farm and do something. Well, by golly, you better get it done.
I completely understand that. Quick question about that. So, and Trey, does that mean the third?
That's the third. My grandfather was Simon Wesley Hendershot Sr. My dad, Simon Wesley Hendershot Jr., and my real name is Simon Wesley Hendershot III. So everybody called my granddad Sim, my father Sonny, and me Trey.
Wow.
That's cool.
Carry on the legacy.
That's it.
Great.
Trey, you mentioned at the beginning about the ups and downs in your business, and challenges often define us. Could you share a hurdle you face in your career and how it's shaped the attorney that you are today?
There's been several hurdles along the way. First of all, just figuring out how to run a law practice and what that entails. And so Turner Pope was the attorney that hired me out of law school, and Turner was a great mentor. And there would be times he would call me in his office and say, now, Trey, at some point in time, you're going to be doing this, and here are things you need to think about. And Turner was also very similar to my dad about the integrity and what you represent to a client, you need to deliver on that. And so first hurdle, I guess, was just learning how to do it and having a great mentor there. And then other hurdles along the way have been finding the attorneys to bring in as associates and shareholders in the firm. And I think we have an excellent team now. But again, that's been a hurdle because not everybody has those work ethics. So finding the people that have those work ethics has been critical.
That's a great point. Surround yourself with good people. Let me ask you, what's the main thing when you get up? What drives you in your work? What gets you up in the morning ready to conquer the day?
Well, being able to deliver to a client their goal and their objective, because that's the thing that absolutely drives me, is I want to be able to help people accomplish their goals, or many times that goal is just to protect what they've created. And so being able to put the plan in place to do that, or if it's litigation, being able to go out and succeed in that litigation, and the preparation to being able to accomplish the client's goal, that's something that's exciting to me. And I think that's exciting to all of the attorneys in our office.
Wow, that's a great answer.
Trey, Houston knows you as one of the most successful lawyers in town, but what's something that people might be surprised to learn about you, whether it's a hobby, interest, or a perspective you hold?
Well, something that people are surprised about a lot of times is to find out that I still work on the ranch. We still have a working cattle ranch, and we've actually taken it and started raising exotic game. So we have zebra, wildebeest, elk, axis, fallow, all kinds of critters running around out there. And that's my hobby and my pastime right now, other than, of course, my kids. But going out to the ranch and just being able to keep that running and keep that legacy running, because my great-great-grandfather, Zelotus Hendershot, is actually who started the ranch. He was in the Ohio Infantry in the Civil War, and he came down to Texas and acquired the first property that started the homestead for the ranch. So just keeping that Hendershot legacy alive is something that's near and dear to my heart.
Well, that's cool. Is that an open ranch? Like, do other people get to go on there and hunt, or is it private just for you and your family?
It's private just for us, but we will invite people out to hunt. We do have to manage the herd, so we do sell hunts for that aspect of it. And we have a website, and people can go to the website and see all about the ranch.
What's the website?
diamond-h-ranch.com.
All right.
Those are such great memories. I remember being a kid, and my godfather had a ranch. And some of the best memories I have growing up were going with my friends when they would have the roundups. And they would inoculate them, they would dehorn the whole nine yards. And it was kind of like a mini version of City Slickers.
but I mean, you did the best family bonding that I, just great memories of doing that.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of great memories out there. One of which being my mother getting after me with a cattle prod. So yeah, there's a lot of memories out there.
So let's talk about advice and kind of going back into you and the things that are important to you. So if you could go back in time and give a piece of advice to your younger self, what would you tell them?
Listen to those that have been there, done that. And that's advice that I try to talk to my kids about on a regular basis. But the experience that someone else has had and being able to learn from their experience to help you avoid the potholes along the way.
That rings a bell to me. My dad would always tell me, don't make the same mistakes I did. And he would say, you can do things two ways. There's the easy way and the hard way. Which way do you want to do them? And I think it took me till I was about 30 years old where I said, man, he was right. Mom was right. I should have listened to everything they said. So that's a great piece of advice.
And Trey, if you had the power to change one aspect of your industry overnight, what would it be?
Ooh, now that's a tough question, Mark. I think one of the things that I've seen change over the last 37 years of practicing law, when I was a younger attorney, you could usually take most people at their word. And now we see that becoming a problem. And so getting back to the way it used to be 30 plus years ago, when a handshake actually meant something, that's what I would like to see us get back to.
Got it. And as a follow-up question, is there a myth or something that the public thinks they know about lawyers, but we don't actually understand? Is there something that you want to clear up that's misunderstood in your field?
We're actually pretty good folks.
All right. That's a good answer.
So Trey, looking down the road, you know, you talked about legacy and carrying on your grandfather's and your father's legacy. What kind of impact do you want to have through your work, and how do you want to be remembered?
Well, I do want to be remembered as that guy that when Trey said something, you could take him at his word and you knew it was going to happen.
That's great.
All right. Parting wisdom or recommendation part of the podcast, which I like because I always like to learn from our guests, especially you, Trey. Is there something you currently find interesting or that you'd like to share with our listeners? It could be anything. It could be a book, movie, blog, or piece of wisdom.
There's several things that go into that question or several answers that could be things that we find wisdom in. Well, clearly looking at those folks that have done it before. And so books about real life experiences go down the line. And then I'm a strong Christian, so my faith and belief in the Bible and talk about a book, that's the book to read.
All right. Well, I'm a movie guy. I'm a movie buff. What's your favorite lawyer or law movie? If you have one.
Oh, that's the easiest question you've asked me all day. Right.
What is it?
My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That is a great one. Yes. What a great movie.
Oh, man. I love that one.
Well, Trey, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here. And if you don't mind, for our listeners, could you tell us where they can find more information about you and your law firm?
Sure. We're on the internet, Hendershot Cowart. And so you can Google Hendershot Cowart and our website will come up. The website very clearly defines and sets out what services we provide and who our attorneys are. There's a section on it about meet the attorneys that you can go to and see who everybody is. There's a section on it that talks about what all we do. Or you can just Google my name and it comes up with a number of different links that will get into either our LinkedIn or some of those social media avenues.
Well, fantastic. Trey, thanks again for joining us today and sharing your journey with us.
Absolutely. John, Mark, it's been a pleasure sitting here chatting with y'all. I appreciate it.
Until next time, our listeners, this is Dollars and Cents, Wealth, Wisdom, and Well-Being, signing off.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.